Hello and welcome to the Legends of Tabletop podcast. We have the invincible, the indomitable Oscar Rios back behind the keeper's chair. Not today, Satan. We're still playing games. We are back to our Cthulhu.
The man who game. Would not die.
We will be picking up our story after the events of the Golem of Antioch. And Macrion and Dorina are heading to Egypt, but I'm going to kick this over to Oscar and let him do all this. But yeah, we're going to Egypt.
Okay, so while recovering from your exploits and ordeal in Antioch, a letter arrives from Macrion inviting him to speak, to give a lecture at the Great Library of Alexandria in Egypt. And it is a private lecture, invitation only, very exclusive, to a select group of scholars. And as the librarian who's inviting him says, fellow light bearers, which is a code word for people involved in the Shadow War. And the topic they wish him to speak on is his year-long journey. I think you were we said you were in Britannia something like 18 months?
Something like that?
Something like, it was like a year and a half in Britannia. Your year and a half exploits and exploration of Britannia in general, and in particular your encounters with the mysterious she. Lots of people are very interested in them, and you're one of the first people who've been to Britannia and back who's made a legitimate, believable claim to have had dealings with them, backed up by the fact that your companion carries a she weapon.
I don't think he tells Dorina that that's what the topic of discussion is going to be about. Like, he keeps that pretty close to the vest because he knows she's going to be mad. But once we're there, she can't do anything.
Right.
I'm just angry thinking about this right now.
And you're looking forward to getting back to Alexandria because you haven't been there in a couple of years and you actually own an estate there. Which is funny because it's on his character's background. He goes, oh, yeah, I own a house in Alexandria. I'm like, no shit. So it happens, happy circumstance there. And they said that they will give you a full tour of the library, and the attached, shrine temple to the muses. It's a collection of beautiful art pieces from all around the empire dedicated to the muses, and it has the very interesting name of it's the museum. Yes, and that's where we get the term museum, the Temple of the Muses, which is attached. It's like it's attached. It's part of the Great Library. So the first museum is you'll be getting a tour there. I thought that was pretty cool. Any questions?
No. So you told me to roll a 1d4 before we started playing. Dorothea.
No, we'll say she is there.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Cool. So. You arrive at the port of Alexandria, and long before you get into port, you see like the top of a structure almost be above the horizon. And as you sail closer and closer, the structure becomes more and more visible. And eventually you see the city, and the structure that's been slowly coming into view is just a massive fortress lighthouse on a small island at the mouth of the bay. And this is the great lighthouse at Alexandria. It's still standing. It doesn't fall until 12 something. So you pull into the bay, which is narrow, and it has a lot of, like, the shipping lanes are difficult, so there's a lot of maneuvering, which is why the lighthouse is there to guide people in. And before anyone is allowed to get off the ship, a pair of guards and a scholar comes on board, and they say, anybody, who's disembarking, we need to search your luggage.
Is this a new procedure?
You roll your no.
I just put myself out. Like, I don't know any better.
They glance through it, and they're probably going to say nothing, but we'll get to the meat of it in a minute.
Is that an EDU roll?
Yeah. Okay. Should be fine.
Yeah, 40 under 90.
They're looking for books.
Oh, I wonder. I probably have a couple of books.
Okay, you make a luck roll.
All right. Ooh, that's going to be an 80, so probably not.
You failed?
I don't know.
Which is actually good.
My luck is, what is my luck? 64 right now.
Okay. They were like, they look over Dorina's luggage and she has no books, so she's fine. And then they look over yours and they said, oh, and he looks it over. He looks over the titles. He glances at one, and he gets to this one scroll and he looks it over. And he says, I'm fairly certain we don't have a copy of this. I'm going to confiscate this for now. We're going to take it to the library. We're going to make a copy. You can pick it up you can pick up your original in a couple of days.
Yes, that'll be acceptable. I could always have it copied at the house. I'm returning from a long voyage, and I look forward to returning home. I could have had one of the servants do it for you, but if you insist, I'm sure that's fine.
Well, we trust our scholars. You know, small mistakes can lead to big problems. So he writes something out on a piece of papyrus, and he puts his wax stamp. He goes, this is your, you know, this is your ticket. Give us, 72 hours and you should be able to pick up your original at the library.
Yes. Thank you.
And then they let you guys disembark and then they search the rest of the ship.
Is this what they always do when you come here?
Well, the great library is here.
Standard, yeah.
They're always on the lookout for new information. It's a great center of learning. It has been far too long since I have been able to return.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we will be staying at my villa. It is anything that you need. I can provide anything that you could possibly want.
Oh, that's exciting. I don't need anything. I just opened my bag. I got what I need. Thank you.
Okay, you start hearing, as you guys are, disembarking, you hear, Master Macrion here.
Ah, yes, he looks around.
And, it is one of your servants, Tullus.
Ah, Tullus. Ah, yes, I see you have received my letter.
Yes, everything is made ready. We have a palanquin ready for you.
Ah, excellent. Tell us, this is Dorina. Anything she needs while we are staying at the house, you should provide.
Of course. Any guest of our master is our mistress as well.
I'm standing frozen, waving, and just not processing anything that Macrion, not, no offense, Macrion, in any way, but I've known you through adventures and we've talked about things, but this is really real. And you've got people working for you and stuff, so I'm just standing there waving, smiling.
Oh, it gets better, Dorina. He says, the Lady Dorina's organized a small reception this evening to welcome you home.
Ah, yes.
Just a few friends.
The mistress as well?
Yes, she's quite well and looking forward to seeing you.
Ah, excellent. Let us not
the
tarry.
Mistress?
Oh, yes. And he just starts to tell you all about his
livid girlfriend.
Yeah.
That was also on his character background that we totally forgot about.
Well, we haven't been. I haven't been home.
Mentioned her. Oh.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, we've been quite busy with adventuring. I've written.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It must have just slipped my mind.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you get to the house. And it's lovely, but modest. It's not an overly large villa, but for a single man, it's large enough. It's got six bedrooms, a garden.
Only six bedrooms.
And there's, only a dozen servants. And they're all lined up to greet him when he comes home outside. And they're all dressed in their best. And you're shocked, Macrion, because bunch of these people were children the last time you saw them, and now they're preteens and teenagers, and you're you don't even recognize some of them, and then you're wow, you grew a beard, you're so much taller. So you all the servants greet you, and at the end of the line
I think he hugs them too, right? He's
Well, what kind of a master are you? Are you the kind of master that would... what are these slaves or are these freedmen servants?
I think they're more along the lines of freedmen servants.
Okay.
Right? Just because of the stuff that we do and as miserable as that is. And, you know, he can afford it. So, yeah, they're free people.
Not a problem. And at the end of that line, I'm trying to see. Okay, hold on. Is...
Oh, are you going to share a screen?
Yeah.
The big reveal.
Damn. Is Lady Darina.
No, Dorothea.
Dorothea, sorry. Dorothea.
Good job, Macrion.
She like...
Good job.
You have not seen her in 5 years.
Yeah.
And she has aged like wine. She's probably more beautiful now than she was before. And she like curtsies to you, you know, with respect. And she says, you know, welcome home. I trust that you will find everything in order. I've done my best to keep a good house in your absence. And she like kind of comes and gives you a kiss on both cheeks. And then she like wrinkles her nose and says, prepare a bath. He goes, the master smells of the ocean.
So like she stands on ceremony and he does not. So she says all that and he just says, ah, my beloved, it is so good to be home. And he, you know, she kisses him on a cheek and he just, you know, grabs her and, you know, gives her a kiss and, you know, like puts an arm around her.
Despite her more than 3 decades, she still giggles like a young girl when you do that and pushes you away. And she says, not in front of the help.
he laughs and
she says, and who is this? And she looks at Darina. And Darina, you see her eyebrows knit.
He says, oh, this is a traveling companion of mine, Darina.
Really?
Yes.
You've not mentioned her in your letters?
I'm sure that I have, as well as Herminius, the unfortunate Herminius. we spent many, many strange adventures together along with... So
you did make your luck roll.
Oh, you want me to make a luck roll?
Yeah, make your luck roll to see if you actually mentioned that you were traveling with a woman.
61, and I think my luck was 64. Let me double check. Luck is 64. Just pass.
Just pass. She says, oh, the Celtic hunter.
Yes, 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 yes. You remember.
I'm terribly sorry. I thought you were a man.
I don't take offense. I greet her with the kindness and just
she like takes both of your hands in her hands and says, it's true what they say about the women of Britain, that they are mighty warriors. And she like grabs your forearms and says, you must tell me all of your exploits.
I very much will.
And she says, but come, listen, you, and she says, you need a bath as well. Let's get you all cleaned up before the guests start to arrive. And you know,
I thank her, and you know, I tell her like a few little things here and there. I talk about my sheep and how much I love my sheep, but not like that.
She says, I was a goat herder for most of my life.
I get really excited and we start talking more about like the nuances of taking care of farm animals.
She says that she misses it. Her knees aren't what they used to be. Now a lot of her nieces and nephews are running the business and she just manages things.
I offer an exciting comment and then say I'd love to see it at some point in time if we have the time while we're here.
Well, that depends on my man. He does travel quite a bit. Hopefully he'll stay for a few months. Right, Macrion?
He blanches a little bit because he knows he's been away for a long time. And he says, yes, I wish to stay as long as possible.
You owe me at least a month's stay for every year you've been gone, old man.
That is fair. And then he leans in to like pinch her ass and he'll like, you know, chase her. Chase her through the house, but you know what I mean? Like,
right. Let's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not LARPing this.
Yeah.
So basically the servants usher you in a bath. They lay out fresh clothes in the latest Athenian styles. So Darina, you change your hunting leathers for, you know, fine Egyptian cotton.
I've never felt this before. This is interesting.
Macrion, this is old hat for you. You know, like all of their residences are in like 4 of the most scholarly centers of the empire. So And a lot of people come over. They're all old friends of Macrion, and their wives are respective husbands. Most of them are scholars. Everybody wants to hear about your exploits, but none of these people are involved in the Shadow War at all.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about Britannia, you have to leave out all the horrific bits.
Yeah. I tell them about the horrible weather. There's the one place, you know, that had nothing but rain. Not to say that it was supernatural rain. that we did, you know, a lot of traveling, you know, set up a new business. You know, just, you know, on and on. Talk about, you know, Herminius and his, you know, unfortunate passing in battle. And
yeah, we heard, we were all very saddened to learn of the loss of your friend.
Yes, it was quite a blow. But his niece is taking up his mantle, and she seems quite well equipped.
Well, it's good. It's good that family had a legacy. But she's got some very large boots to fill if she wishes to become a witch hunter like her uncle.
She does indeed. She seems to be well on her way. The family seems to have a gift.
Okay. Basically, everybody comments on how thin you look. And you know, they're like pushing hors d'oeuvres on you. And you know, towards the middle of the evening, the lady of the house has arranged for some poets and musicians to come in, and they do like a rotating set of entertainment, and then the party winds down, and you're all very full and very drunk and very tired. And have an excellent night's sleep. Macrion sleeps a little less than Darina.
Understandably so.
Unless Darina wants to make a charm roll
at
the party.
I have learned my lesson. I chose not to drink. I chose not to speak to many people at all because I end up talking way too much. And yeah, so
well, Macrion,
I'm just quietly observing.
Macrion would at some point ask you if you would require anything else. And you know, kind of like gestures at a couple of the servants or whatever, you know, some of the single men or whatever.
Not at this time, but thank you very much for thinking of me.
Okay. Of course. Roll your luck, Darina.
All right. Well, that's a 39. Oh, I pass. Oh, hell yeah, I pass. That's a hard.
Okay, even though you were uninterested, there is a strapping town guard who seemed very taken with you. And he'd never seen. What color hair does she have? Is she like have the reddish hair or?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's basically never seen red hair and freckles on a woman before.
I'm like a dime a dozen over there. What are you talking about?
And he basically he's had a few cups too many, but he seems very sweet and sincere. And he's told you you're beautiful a couple of times, but you're like, okay, thanks.
I'm good, thank you.
So it's because you said you're just not interested in that level of socializing right now.
Nope.
But in case it comes up, let me give you his name.
In case I want a booty call. Absolutely.
Well, or get out of jail.
All right, that's fair. I'll accept that.
His name is Kanta.
Kanta. Wanna
Kanta. He is Egyptian. Well, he's a Roman. Roman citizen. We're all one big happy empire. Except for the barbarians.
Is it fair to say that I have the head of the satyr that I choked out in my study, do you think?
Would you have kept it? Would you have had it stuffed?
I don't know. I don't know.
I would say no.
Okay.
Because you knew that people would ask questions, and you know better than to say all of this stuff is real. You know, part of the whole thing of the Shadow War is the less people know about these things, the better.
Right, right. Okay, that's fair. All right.
Okay, so the next day, you have the lecture is like at 3, but you've been invited to come and have breakfast at the library. Then just after sunrise, basically you've been invited to the museum for a sunrise breakfast followed by a tour before they open of the museum, and then a full tour of the library, then a light lunch, and then you'll have an hour to prepare whatever notes you want for your lecture, which should last about 1 to 2 hours. And then that evening, you know, there'll be a reception at the Great Library.
Is it fair to say that Dorothea would know about what I do?
That you fight creatures, that you fight monsters, and yes,
you're right, because yes, I'm gone for so long in the inexplicable scars and mental trauma, right? I feel like she would have to know.
Right. And, you know, like that you traveled with the most famous witch hunter in the Empire. People in the Empire believed in witches and they believed in magic. So that's not really that odd. Well, and they do believe in monsters and stuff. But, you know,
I mean, I killed the satyr that was trying to grab her. So, like, she also knows that things are not as they seem.
So you've saved her from a mythos entity. That's how you met. So, yes. Yes, she knows you fight monsters. She's seen you do it.
Right. So then she comes then, I assume. I mean, he would at least, ask her to come with.
She blushes and she says, I was hoping you would include me. I haven't even picked out an outfit.
Of course, I would never, I couldn't dream to not include you in something such as this.
And she says, oh, woe is me to be sitting through another one of these boring lectures. You'll have to reward me after for being such a good companion. She just giggles. And she says, oh, I guess the outfit is part of my reward. It was quite expensive.
He laughs. He's kind of like, you know, waves a hand like, it doesn't matter, you know, whatever. Whatever it takes to keep you happy.
I had the steward I took the liberty of having a new outfit made for you for this fine occasion. I'm afraid it may not fit properly because you've lost so much weight. But it's like these beautiful scholarly robes. It's like you look at them and like they're going to get so dirty because you're used to like being an adventurer and not just a full-time scholar. So we'll skip ahead because the whole group is not able to play at this point. But you tour the library while you have a light breakfast at the museum where you are entertained. Then you are given a tour. And it's almost as if every fifth exhibit, the artist who created it is there to answer questions about it. So it's like sculptures and mosaics and beautiful works of pottery. There are playwrights there and, you know, poets. And, you know, it's just there are statues to the muses. Each wing is dedicated to a different art. So it's just a fascinating trip. And then you tour the library. You've been here before. Not as many times as you wish, because you travel so often. But it seems like it hasn't changed much, which is sad. Because you remember, as a child, it was much finer. And it's been slowly in decline. And you've been hoping that they would turn their fortunes around. But it doesn't appear that they have. In this period of history, the Great Library of Alexandria is no longer the premier center of learning in the empire as it once was 100 years ago. I mean, it remains a big center until it's destroyed. But yeah, at this time, it's slightly past the golden age. Like they do fundraisers and they're like, you know, we're hoping to get the roof on this wing repaired next year. We're holding a fundraiser. You know, we're having all the librarians sell cookies and, you know, see if we can raise some money.
he makes a mental note of it to make sure that they give some sort of a, you know, a gift to the library. He laments not the disrepair, but, you know, the sameness as it's been as long as he's been away.
Right. They do tell you that they really, really, really appreciate your speaking with Esopharis, the man who invited you. They appreciate you coming and delivering this because they said, we hope you don't mind, but we were using this as a fundraiser. The people who are here to hear you speak are paying for the honor. Reports of actual encounters with the Shi are so rare. Many investigator organizations want to have some briefing for their members who might be going to Britannia on what to look out for.
And when he mentions the topic, he kind of sheepishly looks over at Dorina and then flicks his eyes away. He says, yes, of course, of course. Anything we could do to help in this.
And this is the Celtic Huntress you travel with, correct?
It is indeed, yes.
He says, I am so honored to meet you. And he says, I know this is so impertinent of me, but I hope you'll forgive me and indulge my request. But can I see it? Do you have it with you?
See what?
We've heard rumors you carry a Shi blade.
A Shi blade? Yeah, I look at Macrion.
He, like, kind of shrugs.
And I unfortunately do not have that with me at this time. I'm sorry to let you down by that, but I do indeed have it in my possession, just not with me at this time.
He says, well, if you would, I would love to have someone sketch it for our records. If you could bring it so that we could examine it before you leave Alexandria, we would be most appreciative.
I will see what I can do.
You never know what bit of information could save lives. And then he mumbles, or even the world, in the business we're in.
I completely understand. Like I said, I'll do the best that I can.
We really appreciate it, and we appreciate you being here. So you tour the library, and then you're given a light lunch and a couple of hours to yourself to get your thoughts together before delivering the speech. And this is when Patelis and Attius, is that how we're pronouncing it?
Yeah, Consus Attius.
Consus. So you're arriving and you're gathering and you see, it's almost like the Council of Elrond. You see Mythos investigators from all these different provinces are gathering from, like, you know, North Africa, from the Far East, from, you know, the central provinces, from Germania, you know, from Radia, which is like Switzerland, and from Dacia, which is like Romania, like all these different groups. There's probably 100 people, and they're all in delegations of like two. And you're like, wow, you know, this is a huge gathering. And you're there with the old man and the scribe. And Patelis, will say that you've kind of fallen in with, what's his name again? With young Petros as well. Because he's like, out of all of the scribes here in Alexandria, he's one of the youngest, one of the closest ones in age to all of you. Actually, you're all a little bit older than him. So he's always asking questions about, like, hey, what's Rome like? And, you know. So he's kind of a good kid, but he's definitely a city mouse of Alexandria who's not seen the world. All right. Is there anything you want to do before the lecture, Macrion?
I think at some quiet moment, even though Regina's no longer on screen, he comes over and grabs, you know, Regina, like, you know, grabs her elbow and is like, So I didn't want to tell you before we arrived because I know that this is a touchy subject, but it is quite important that we share any information that we could to broaden the knowledge for other investigators.
Okay. So what did you want to share with them specifically?
All of it. These are fellow investigators. Things that we say here are told in confidence among equals.
I respect that. That's fine with me. Do you wish me to elaborate on anything or just stand by if you need any clarifications?
As they wished me to give the oration, if you would just be prepared to perhaps clarify anything that I may have forgotten, I will definitely point you out as we proceed.
Absolutely. I'm excited for you. Yay!
It has been quite a long time since I have presided over one of these. It is a little bit of nerves.
Well, I think you're going to do amazing, and it seems to be that you're going to be surrounded by your peers and people who are very interested in what we do.
And you are to be counted among that number.
Okay, so a secretary comes out and says, we're going to be going on in a few minutes. We've prepared a seat for you. If you wish to stand and speak, if you wish to sit. And they said, Mistress Darina, will you be speaking as well?
Only if needed.
Okay, so she basically says, do you want to sit in the audience or do you want to sit on stage in case you need to chime in? We want to work with you to make sure that this goes as smoothly as possible.
Of course, she should sit on stage.
Yep. I'll as you wish. Sit on stage. Thank you.
Okay, they come out and she comes out and she says, gathered guests, please, take your seats. We're going to be starting in a moment. And, we'd like to thank Macrion, of Corinth for, agreeing to speak with us today. Please hold all of your questions. There will be a reception later where he will be available. And we would also like to thank his traveling companion, Darina. And they actually get your Celtic tribe's name. And she says, a native of Britannia who's, traveling the traveling the inner provinces with Macrion. He spent 18 months in Britannia, traveling far and wide, encountering many strange and I'll let him elaborate. So without further ado, Macrion of Corinth, and there's polite,
right. he stands.
You come in, it's almost like a theater of seats, mm-hmm. like a lecture hall.
Right. He stands, kind of adjusts the tunic that doesn't quite fit right. And he says, I feel like as a player, I should have prepared something.
You don't have to. We could just say you do the talk. It doesn't have
But he launches into it. He says, it's been, too many years since I've been home. I am excited to be here. My beloved is as happy as you are that I am home.
She's in the audience and nods to smiling at people and waves.
And he'll launch into something to the effect of it's a complicated topic that we were I don't even remember if they approached us or we approached them. I think they approached us because we couldn't. They were hiding in the trees or whatever. We were approached by them. We had entered into what we thought was a legitimate agreement. But they, left some things unsaid and disappeared and left us to handle the situation with the cat creature.
Cat-she hunt.
That they attempted to make some amends of that and provided the Fey knife. Darina got the net, and that.
Someone got a coin, I think, that could translate language.
Yeah, and I got the ear cuff that gives me the bonus on the extra no roll or whatever, or bonus die. And that they took me back, and that they probably thought that the joke would be on me, that I would go and have this time and then completely forget about it, but I didn't. So I provide some of that information.
At this point, the moderator actually interrupts you and says, one moment. I'm terribly sorry. And you see everybody in the audience looks really confused.
What?
To clarify, are you saying you visited their realm?
And he stops and then he thinks about it. They wish to make some amends, as I say.
There's a gasp. Throughout the audience, there's a gasp of, holy shit.
Some of the and best then people food. Like,
did you age differently? Did you eat anything? And there's like she knocks, bangs the hammer, like there will be no questions. You know, speak to him at the reception. We have a lot of material to get through. More now than I thought.
he kind of like so sheepishly looks back.
You really
back
were
going to
tell them everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay.
And then you know he moves on to the fact that we were Malachi, who you know unfortunately is on other business and was unable to attend, was approached by another she that requested us to work for her, and that we were able to attack and destroy another she for her, that Herminius was felled in battle and replaced by that self, that same she.
Tell them about the changeling. Yep. And the battle with the alien she.
Yep. That he was replaced, you know, the changeling, but we did not know, and that we found out as we were departing, as the magic, you know, lost coherence or whatever. He gives him the whole spiel.
Okay. So at the end of this meeting,
uproar.
No. A priest comes out and actually presides a prayer and swears everyone to secrecy upon Concord, that this information was shared by our esteemed fellow in good faith for the betterment of mankind. And it is not to be disseminated lightly. It is only to be used to spread light where there is darkness. Do you all solemnly swear? And of course, everyone joins in the prayer and swears. Okay. You're almost mobbed by people coming in, you know, and of course your lady steps in and says, look, you know, he's tired. He's just arrived. You can see how thin he is. You know, give him some air. We'll be at the reception and, you know, he'll be available. But I'm going, you know, we really should retire, you know, for a brief after, you know, for, you know, I'd like him to lay down before the party. It's like she's totally mother henning you. Mm-hmm. and keeping the crowd at bay.
You know, he puts an arm around her and says, oh, I need to follow doctor's orders. And I assume, like, as we walk away, she's like, you did not tell me about that.
She was like, she says, I don't know whether to be mad at you for not sharing these things or grateful that you don't, because you would have come home and I would have had not a single hair in my head that was not gray for fear of your, you know, of losing you. She goes, why must you take these risks? You're not a young man anymore. Train an apprentice.
Yes, well,
you don't want to wind up like your friend, with only a niece to carry on his work and no legacy.
As she says that, I kind of go to tears silently.
I say, but yes, someone must undertake this battle, and who better than those of us who are already involved without scarring someone else?
She says, you were on that dreadful island for a year and a half. You've not been home in 5 years. When is it enough? There are younger men who can carry the torch. We'll speak of this at length. You've given me 5 months. Stay. I hope to convince you to extend that. So she takes you back to the villa. She has the servants give you a massage and massage your feet while you have a glass of water down wine in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically sits there with your and makes you put your head in her lap while she just while you just rest and me. She reads and she like reads. So you have a couple of nice relaxing hours.
I think he tells her probably maybe more, like if she wants to know, I think he would tell her more. You know,
the only thing she asks for is was the fairy queen as beautiful as the legends say?
Well, that's a loaded question. I say something.
Dorina's in the background. Say no.
I say, you know, the as legendary as her beauty may have been, it could never touch yours.
She says, "You know, I've always found intelligence to be very attractive in a man." And she giggles. She says, "You are a wise man, Macrion. I will give you that."
I've been called worse.
And she drops it at that. So the reception goes off, and you're the man of the hour. Darina, you're also, you know, asked a million questions, not only about your experiences, but about your homeland. About, you know, what tribe you are, what's your relationship with the war, with Rome. Were you one of the tribes that resisted? Yada, yada, yada. So you guys are just inundated questions. And, you know, one of the big ones is, so iron, it really does work?
Yes, it does. I entertain all questions and try to keep things light and positive.
Okay. All right. So we're going to... Hold on. Let me just share this interesting picture of the your tour through the Great Library, interior of the Great Library of Alexandria.
Nice.
That's okay. Really pretty.
So afterwards, we're going to actually get to the adventure. Towards the end of the party, when it's now like everyone's asked their questions and now it's just people talking shop, drinking, socializing, you know, like halfway through the reception, the guest list doubles. So people know to stop talking about, you know, mythos related stuff. Mm-hmm. As other local officials and other people come to pay their respects and get a free meal. You know, people who've donated to the library, of course, if there's a reception, they get invited, but they don't necessarily know anything about the mythos. So you're no longer as in demand. But one of the third chair does come over to you, Macrion, and Darina, actually. More to Darina than to Macrion. And he says, forgive me for bothering you. In your hour of triumph, warrior maiden of the of the Misty Isle, I am Agrippos. I am a scholar and an academic. This is my grandson Petros, and his friends Petelius and Consul. I wish to speak with you and Macrion if you're available for a few moments. My office is not far from here. I would very much appreciate your time if you would indulge an old man. And he's old. He's like 80.
I look to Macrion to see if like he's available and to get a nod or something from him.
I look to Dorothea, who's probably at my side.
And she says, Of course, he'd be honored to assist you with anything you need, esteemed scholar. And she like bows.
And he takes her hand and, you know, kisses the back of her hand and says, Darina?
And she says, a few old friends have just arrived. I'll catch up. Find me after.
Of course.
And she kisses you on the cheek and whispers, 5 months, you promised.
He solemnly nods and doesn't say anything.
Okay, so Agrippos brings you into his office, which is very well kept. It's stuffed but not cluttered, which is almost impossible to have, but it shows that he's got really good staff who organize everything. He sits you guys down. Petros brings other like folding camp chairs from the sides of the room to have everyone sit. He sits at his desk and he says, well, a situation, a time-sensitive situation has arisen. I've received word from one of my contacts. They've come into a collection of very ancient scrolls. I am told they are from a temple of Thoth, the ancient Egyptian god of magic. As you know, such scrolls can be very dangerous, but they can also be very useful. I wish to acquire them for the library, because if they are dangerous, it's better they don't fall into the wrong hands, and if they are valuable, it's better that we have them. But I do not wish to pay what they are asking if they are forgeries or fakes, and they most likely are. Now, I could tell if they were at a glance. I have a lifetime and more of experience in such matters, but I am too old to make this journey. It is not a long journey, but it is more than I'm able to do. Now, I would send Petros, who is more than capable of authenticating these scrolls, but he's never traveled outside of the city, and recently the roads to that area have become unsafe. There are rumors of Berber bandits attacking travelers with slings.
And have not the authorities done anything about this?
They have not yet. They are investigating. The town of Ostracine does have a small garrison, so we think that they are investigating, but it is a 3-day trip between Alexandria and Ostracine. That's a great distance. And as you know, Berbers are expert horsemen. They're likely to just melt away into the desert before... I mean, these are rapid attacks. So I was hoping I might interest you. I might engage your services to escort Petros and his young friends to Ostracine, look over him while he authenticates these things. I'm not... The people who acquire such items are not always the most scrupulous of individuals. These are the kind of people who would decide they're going to keep your money, keep your scrolls, and, you know, roll your body into a ditch. So if you would look after him and return him to Alexandria, I would consider it a personal favor, and I would make it worth your while. He says, while I do not have the funds to pay you adequately for what such a task is worth, I would be willing to give you this. And he passes you from inside of his sleeve a scroll, Macrion.
He takes it.
It is a very thick, long scroll. And it has, and you can see that it's been written by him. Mm-hmm. It's like personalized. And it contains 3 items of folk magic. At a glance, you see there is a spell to have wild animals befriend you for a 24-hour period. A spell that will compel ghosts haunting an area to come to manifest and answer questions. And a spell to protect your goods from theft.
Okay.
He says, these are very simple magics, but in my time traveling, when I was a much, much younger man, they proved quite useful. And since you are still in your prime...
He cracks the grin.
He's like 80, and you're like 40. Since you're still a relatively young man, I think that these would be quite useful. And he says, and you, Huntress, I'm surely an enchantment to allow wild animals to befriend you for a short time would be quite valuable.
Absolutely.
Now, I know you've just gotten home, and I hate to put you on the spot, but there are other interested parties. So time is of the essence.
He says,
I can supply you with mounts, horses, camels, if you wish, a cart drawn by donkeys, whatever you wish. The roads are not great, so you might rather go with donkeys. I am told that Petelius is an expert equestrian, so he would be quite a good man to have along with you.
My wife will be most displeased if I inform her that I will be taking yet another, albeit short, trip.
He smiles and he says, happy to be home, huh? You just said she was your wife.
Yes, well, you know, he kind of waves his hand.
Wishful thinking, or do you have plans before you leave?
Yes, well, it is a matter of being one and the same, I suppose.
To be young and foolish. He says, so, will you take on this task, or do I need to keep looking for suitable guards for my grandson?
He looks to Dorina, and he says, what say you?
I'm more than happy to join along.
I believe that we will need more than just the two of us, though. If an entire garrison has yet to undertake this problem, we will need more than just Darina and I to traverse this path.
Well, I'm going to say that he's already engaged Consus and Petelius to travel with young Petrus.
Okay.
So it would be the five of you.
Okay. When would you wish us to leave?
He smirks sheepishly and says, "Tomorrow."
he laughs. Come on. Could it not wait until the day after?
If it must, it is, as I said, there are other interested parties who may be bidding on it. And it is a 3-day journey.
Interested indeed, but they may not have the skill set that we do. Or the experience, for that matter.
They may not. They also may not have the same good intentions.
So wouldn't worth it?
If it must be a day later, then it must be a day later. I will not argue. I've already imposed too much, even pulling you away from the reception.
We will do this thing you ask. It will take me all of tomorrow to convince her that I must take this journey.
Okay. So we'll skip ahead. She's not happy.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.